think about the worst call you've ever gotten. You can tell it's going to start off cheery, isn't it? Think about the worst call you've ever gotten. Maybe it was from a loved one with news of another loved one who was going through something or who passed away. If it was out of time, especially they were too young, that call is heartrending. Maybe somebody that you really loved got into some trouble. Something they should have known better, but they got involved with it anyway. And maybe your call is from law enforcement. Maybe it's from an accident that occurred, and it's with news that you just didn't want to hear. The point is, we've all gotten that call if we're of any age. And you know how it is. When you get that call, you hope it's a bad dream. You're hoping you'll wake up and it won't have really happened. Have you ever had one of those bad dreams where something so bad is happening and you think, I hope this is a dream, and it turns out to be, and you're just happy the next day because what seems so real that you were going through didn't turn out that way. Well, there are elements about these calls. Sometimes it's from a doctor that has news that we surely didn't want to hear. But whatever it is, there are elements about that we just rack our brains trying to figure out how we can change that call. And there is nothing quite as helpless when you come to the conclusion that you cannot change that call. And so hang on to that thought for a moment. We're going to get to cheerier things, I promise you. we live in a world of total makeovers, don't we? Carolyn and I used to love to watch these Total House makeovers. You'd see those, and they'd come in, and they'd come in like 24 hours, and they'd just redo this house, and it was beautiful. And then you realize that was a fictional thing because you can't do that. but it's neat to see it. We like the idea of getting a new place to live, even if it's the same place we live in, and having that total makeover. Some people have gone through health programs, fitness programs, dietary programs, whatever it is, and they've done a whole body makeover, and when they get through with it, they feel so much better, and they have so much more energy. A lot of us here have been through the Dave Ramsey total money makeover. And that takes a little bit of time, but if you can actually see something like that through, you're just so much different on the other end than you were going into it. Maybe your finances were so bad that you didn't even know where to start, and then you go through something and you get through the other side, and it's just like, wow. The thing about these total makeovers is this. You have to be convinced that they're needed because they require an awful lot of time and effort and sometimes sacrifice. But if you are willing to do something like that, it's usually because you are so sick of your situation that you are ready for that time and that effort and you're willing to give that sacrifice. And when you look at it from the other side, you just cannot believe you didn't do that earlier. Well, today's lesson is on the idea of a maybe not total spiritual makeover, but a spiritual makeover. Because there is going to be a day of judgment where literally nothing will matter to you. Nothing in your past will matter to you. The only thing that will matter to you is, are you saved? And are those that you loved saved? And if you get a bad call on that day, you will wish that you had at some point either gotten serious, or if you had been and then you got away from it, that you had gone through something along the lines of a total spiritual makeover to get yourself back on the path so that you didn't have to get this bit of news. I really do believe it would be really beneficial to people if we would realistically place ourselves on our knees before God in judgment before it happens and think realistically, do I have a right for a hope, or is there a good possibility that I'm going to get a bad call on this? Not because of anything else that somebody else has done, but because of my own decisions. And so this is the point that I want to look at this morning. And I do want to point out this. This is a lesson that's going to call for some thought. And if you find yourself in a bad situation or a questionable situation, I'm just not sure, it's going to require sacrifice. But unlike some total makeovers where you get through it and you look at it and you think, I'm not really sure that was worth it, this one is guaranteed to be worth it. If you bring your spiritual life into agreement with what God wants you to do. I also want to say this, good enough is not good enough. In this, it's just if that's for me, I'll get it later. But good enough. Too often for us, we get used to that because we are busy people. Good enough is not good enough when it comes to service to God and to Christ. They not only deserve, but they demand your entire heart, and your entire soul, and your entire mind, and your entire strength. And so let's look at this. First, here's what God offers. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. One of the things Guy was pointing out in his class is there is no way for you or I to know if anybody else is saved. We're not given that. We can observe whether somebody looks like they're in a safe position or if somebody's in an unsafe position. And God expects us to do that. How could we possibly ever help anybody if we didn't? But when it comes to your personal situation, you can know that you have salvation. Peter is not going off the reservation here and saying for you to take God's place in judgment. What Peter is saying when he says you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls, the idea is this is something that we can know about. And since it's something that we can know about, then it's something that we can do something about. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, the Apostle John, through inspiration, says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. Do you know that you have eternal life? And if you don't, if your comment, well, I'm pretty sure, is that good enough? If you were pretty sure that an airplane would that carrying your children would get someplace, but you weren't quite certain that you had a reasonable hope for that, why would you send your loved ones on that plane? Pretty sure is not good enough. Let me read this again. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of Him. So that you may know that you have eternal life. When He talks about belief, He's not talking about, yeah. He's not talking about a mental assent. He's talking about somebody who is entirely bought into this. The Word of God is true. Everything that is in here is a command I have to do. And when I find myself falling short of it, I have to repent and I have to remedy that. But you can know that you have eternal life. And if you don't, then may I suggest, not in a judgmental way, but in a practical, common sense way, if you are not sure that you're saved, you need a spiritual makeover, because you very likely are in danger of receiving a call that you don't want to get on Judgment Day. So put yourself before God on your knees in judgment now and ask yourself, do I have a reasonable hope? And when we talk about hope, as scripturally used, we're talking about an expectation. Do I have a reasonable expectation of being saved? I realize full well that we know a lot of people who are just sure they're going to heaven, that when we look at their life or when we look at the way they have come to God, we have to say, I'm not sure they have a right for that confidence. I'm not telling you to get your confidence from some person. I'm saying that we need to be reading the Word of God to find out what we need to do. We need to read the terms of the contract. But once we have done the terms of the contract, we need to understand that God will do His terms of the contract. That's how we can know. And there are too many people that are living subpar lives because they are just always on the brink. Am I saved? Am I not? Who can know? Well, unless the Apostle John was not inspired, unless the Apostle Peter was not inspired, we can know. We can know that we're never good enough to be saved, but we can know if we've done what God has required. When we talk about the goal of your faith being the salvation of your souls, in the New King James and the King James, it says the outcome of your faith. In the Revised Standard, the English Standard Version, the New American Standard, and the New American Standard Update, it says you are receiving the outcome of your faith. It is essentially talking about your destination. I know I've used this before, but I think this will probably be about as good of an illustration to help set the point home. It was one that I heard from a recording by Earl Nightingale a number of years ago. Earl Nightingale, for those of you who don't know, he was the Paul Harvey before Paul Harvey. and if you think about Earl Nightingale and Paul Harvey, they were the non-abrasive Rush Limbaughs. So maybe that will help you understand who Earl Nightingale was. He was a radio personality who had some pretty good advice. One of the things he talked about when it came to goals was this. You have to know what your destination is, and you have to make sure that you're doing your part. And he gave the example of a ship that was coming out of a harbor that was going to be sailing to the other side of the world, a harbor on the other side of the world. And he said, you take a captain who's experienced at sailing, and he's got a good vessel, a good ship, and he has got good navigational charts. Even though that man has never been to that particular port, 999 times out of 1,000, he's going to make it. Because he's got the right tools. But he said, you take that same man with the same experience, the same good ship, in this instance with a good engine, the same harbor on the other side of the world, the same navigational charts, but that captain instead just flips the switch on, gets the engines going, but then he never steers it. He doesn't have one chance in 1,000 of making that harbor. Do you know how many people's spiritual plan to get to heaven is to turn the ship on and drift aimlessly and somehow end up in heaven? You don't get that from the Scripture. Scripture is a planned place for people who have planned to be there. There is a very specific pattern for getting there, a very specific pattern for living. We'll mess up 1,000 times, but we come back each time. We repent of our sins. We do God's things in God's way. And then we have that hope of salvation, that assurance, that confidence that someday we'll be in heaven, someday. If you don't have that, you need an entire spiritual makeover, because your soul is in danger of getting that call. Now, look at this in Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He'll sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him. He'll separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Imagine the best piece of news you can think of that you've ever gotten or that you ever hoped to get. I remember we had been here for 5 years and we got to go to the state basketball tournament. And I can remember thinking, is this really happening? Are we really getting to go? Some of y'all have been here all your lives and finally got to go. It's a big deal. It's just basketball, I realize, but it's a big deal. Remember when you found out that the one that you so loved you and was willing to marry you? That was a good bit of news. Or when you got that job that you hoped for that turned out to actually be the dream job. Or you got to move somewhere that actually happened to be that dream location. Happy. You can put that in right there. This is better news than that. The best news you could possibly get. The day that you hear, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father," it will be the greatest day of your existence. There can be nothing that compare to it. And then the good is just starting. But on the same token, then He'll say to those on His left, "Depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." This is really going to happen. According to Jesus, it's going to happen to more people than it's not going to happen to. Because more people will decide that they don't want to seek with all their heart and soul. And because and when they do seek, they find out the terms are unacceptable to them. They have opinions on what God should have made His plan of salvation. It does not dovetail with their plans. But someday, there will be many people who hear, "Depart from Me, you who are cursed." And it will be like that call you get that you wished was just a bad dream that somehow you could change. And at this point, you cannot change the call. It is forever in stone. And by the way, this will be the happiest moment of the rest of your existence. Because after this happens, will be the punishment. And it will only get worse. And there's no hope. And that's why we need to think about that right now. We need to put ourselves on our knees before God and reasonably, without usurping His authority in the judgment, answer the questions: have I done what God has required? Have I taken care of my part? Because if we have, by His grace and because of the shed blood of Christ, we get to live forever. But if not, we're going to get that call. And so my encouragement to you this morning is, if you're not sure, do something about it and change that call, because it's in your power to do so right now. But there will come a point where it's no longer in your power. What will you do if you don't make it? Here's the point. You were created to make it. This is the joy that we have before God. It's a sobering lesson, I realize, but the outcome is this. We want to change so that we can have joy now and an eternity of joy with God. It's within your grasp to change the call if it's going the wrong way now. What will you do? The invitation's open. If you need to respond, please do while we stand and sing.